discussing the MHD. I'm achieved the unqualified body opinion, hoping that in the next round they will get a few votes. As you know, honorable members, one of the reasons why for me I think that the MITJ has really performed better than expected, because most of the years under review, there was no war. They operated without the court, but the CO did not allow the and the previous NYC was laid in operation for the developmental youth institution. Obviously, there's a lot of room for them to improve this meeting is not my meeting. It is your meeting, honorable member. But I think that some of the issues that come out of this report and show that report and other content for me is that the voters have found there's no material findings on the concerning the progressive hours on the annual performance project. I think that it's a good thing. Is it some of the members of the board? No. The board, if you can ask them, someone's kind here. I'm not talking to myself. I'm sorry. Now I was saying some board members, especially Ms. Botana, we saw her once when we visited the office. I don't think that she liked the office. I mean, you're yes, thank you very much. You're welcome. I have made the opening remarks on behalf of the committee, but the other issue is, that is important, that is not mentioned, is that in terms of the constitution, part of the Party Finance Management Act, the people who account in terms of the penal reform is a negative factor. Unfortunately, the NYCA accounts to the Department of Performance, to the Minister of Performance, only by the evaluation in the President. And all of us, as we know, that the President is a president. Which is happening in Victoria, and therefore we have received the apology that the Minister and the Deputy Minister are not able to attend this meeting. I hope that the apology will be accepted by Honourable Member. Well, at this stage, can I invite you and your dedication to
Chairperson, sorry, before you move on to that, just on the issue of the absence of the Minister or the Deputy Minister, my information is that that visit concluded yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason why either of them couldn't be here today, even for a short time, because, you know, the gravity of the situation around the NYDA and the responsibility of the Minister is very, very important. So I think that's something we need to get more information on from the members of the executive.
In fact, because you are I should be clear that the apology is saying that they are not able to come due to, by the way, Wednesday today, due to the cabinet committee meetings in Victoria. I think that we do know that they are reading the Department of Health Department on cabinet evaluation, and the Deputy Minister as well in some committee. But maybe what we need to do is to convey the that's the concern that Honourable Member raised. Thank you. Honourable
Chairman, I think it's enough for the Minister and the Deputy Minister to end an accident, because very few entities that we see with the ability. So, and it's not only NYDA, you know, technical issues to do. Most of the departments that we have dealt with, a number of one of them, most of them. And we have never made it an issue. And the fact that they have apologized, I think we should have done without any question.
Now, thank you, Amanda.
I think your approach to me was adequate now. But I feel that I cannot let the last input unattended. Because what you should understand, and the executive or the authority should understand, is that the parliament is the parliament of the people. People who are accountable to parliament is the executive authority, not the official. It's the political leadership that is supposed to be speaking to us in relation to this annual settlement. But it's becoming a norm, because it's empty. We begin to accept what is not acceptable. For political executives not to come and give an account for their political responsibility. Yes, officials are support base of the executive. Therefore, ministers are expected to come to us, not to now, not to Anna, not to you, but to this other house of the people of South Africa. Whether cabinet or no cabinet, those are the rules of this house. This is what this house has emphasized. This is what President Zuma when he took over in 2009, he said, ministers should start to test this organ sound. And they are going to produce organ sound. What has been said, something that I cannot really accept, because the rule of parliament and what is MP collective we've been trying about, it's not only happening there, it's happening in other departments. Therefore, this is not acceptable. But your approach in the matter, that this message by Honorable Sin is going to be conveyed to me, I can live with that. Any other justification, I cannot live with it. Because it's not true, it's false, it's not parliamentary. Thank you very much.
Honorable
Sin,
I think that maybe
Thank you, Shepherd, and honorable members of the Appropriations Committee, and the Parliament, thank you for the opportunity. Before we begin, perhaps to introduce the team from MITA, board members, and members of staff from MITA that are attending today to take us to court. I'll start sharing this on my right hand side. Tomorrow along with the Deputy Executive Chairperson of the NYCA. To his right is Ms. Makaula, who is the Acting Chief Executive Officer of the NYCA. To my left is who's also a board member of the NYCA. We thought that it would be good to also for the opportunity, Chair, for other board members, newly appointed also, nevertheless, to be part of the tabling of the annual report. We invite board members to be able to join us. Some board members have apologized due to other commitments. Non-executive board members, but we do have present Ms. Majority, Chef Alex, who is a board member of the NYCA, again, the newly appointed board. Just next to her is Ms. Patwan, also a member of the NYCA board. Right next to me on my left is Mr. Katuran Kumba, who is Chief Financial Officer of the NYCA. Just behind me we have Ms. Glover, the head of our communications, and Mr. Koka, who is the head of policy and research. Chair, that is the team that we have. We also have, of course, those of the AC Parliament and Ambulance, who assist us with the liaison function. So, Chair, that's the team that will be presenting this report today, the annual report. The approach, Chair, that we've taken is just to give some opening remarks in terms of the context. I'll then hand over to Ms. Makaula, who is the Chief Executive Officer, to speak about the performance. And then Mr. Makuma will conclude with the financial. And then just some closing remarks before we go back to you, Chair. So, Chairperson, if I can continue. Chair, as you quite correctly mentioned, the NYCA has been in existence for 4 years now. And one thing we've acknowledged is that we are a young and growing institution. During the 2012-2013 financial year, as mentioned, Chair, the NYCA did not support it. However, given the circumstances not having a proper place, many entities would have passed. But yet we find ourselves in a position where the NYCA is able to actually undergo an evolution of building on strength and opportunity as opposed to working on issues. The new board chair that was appointed by Parliament and the presidency was of course appointed immediately after the financial year end, of which this annual report should be approved. Here we are, however, set the end of what we were tabled, and our approach is really to focus on the strength, quality of research, skills development, which Mr. Paola will go through, and to really ensure that we reposition the NYD as a credible and capable development organization. Here, although you mentioned that we did receive an unqualified college opinion, one of the five principles developed by the new board is excellence. And so although we have an unqualified audit of we continue to learn from our mistakes of the past, but our aim is to ultimately achieve a clean audit. And we believe that we are laying the basis for a possible clean audit in the next 2 to 3 years. So the principle of excellence here will come out as that has come out in the new strategy crafted by the board, some of the principles that we are using. Here we are committed, as I hand over to Ms. Makaula, to good governance and proper financial management. And we have put in place a number of measures, corrective measures, to ensure that the agency is well positioned to adhering to good governance and financial practices. Mr. Ramakumba will touch on the measures that have been put in place. So, Chair, with that, let me then hand over to Ms. Nicole to then focus on the areas of the report.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, to all my members. Good morning to you, Chair, one of the members of the Appropriations Committee. My chair forgot to introduce one more member to our staff. What drives the office of the Acting CEO is a strategy. So I've got Mr. Clayton Peters on my right, who has a wealth of institutional memory that is that good board does not possess in terms of the last year's financial annual report, as well as our last year's performance, and you will be also assisting in terms of that. Making sure that we are very clear in terms of the questions that are posed to you by the members, by the honorable members this morning. So Again, mine is really to provide a detailed review of our 2012-2013 performance review. The NYDA, as you've noted in slide 2, has had a total of 10 key performance areas this first half of the past financial year. Now, you've noted in the new strategy of the new NYDA, we significantly reduced the KPI 5. So that we don't, it will allow us, the board took that decision along with the risk management. So that it allows us to focus and to zoom in on the strategic priorities of the NYDA, as well as respond to our country landscape in terms of our needs, and also align our strategy, most importantly, to the available resources that the organization has, given by the National Treasury and some of the donor funding which we do receive. Slide 2 of the presentation really is an overview of our performance, which is highlighted. Our key performance areas that were achieved, we have 55 key performance areas that are highlighted in slide 3, which we have achieved 47, and those we missed about 8, which we missed by a small margin. If you'll notice, I take it that members of the honorable members have gone through the presentation that we have submitted. Some of them might be a significant overachievement of our KPIs. This is really due, Chair, to partnerships with public and private and civil society partners. We've really noticed that there are some areas are relating to job preparedness, relating to career guidance, and related to our economic development programs that the NYDA does work. So partners will come on board towards the end of the financial year or in the middle of our financial year to come in and plow in their resources to say, let's increase the margin, let's increase the scope, and let's reach more young people so that they can be able to get all of these programs, these non-financial support programs, as well as these career development programs so that young people can benefit more. Because part of what we always, we are honest in terms of when we go and lobby for partners, for sponsorships and partnerships, to civil society, public and private partners. We always tell them in terms of our limited resources and organizations to be able to spread our footprint so that more young people get to be exposed to our products and services. So these donors and these partners have been very generous in terms of having faith in the organization and giving us donor funding so that we can be able to continue with the work of young people. So you've noticed part of the KPIs that have not been achieved had a lot to do with governance and administration, partnerships, as well as economic participation, which the Chair has earlier alluded that these are some of the things that the new NYDA is trying to strengthen and work on and put measures in place to ensure that all of these KPIs are achieved. So this year we significantly reduced our KPIs to 5 so that will allow us to focus and spread our resources more so that they can benefit a more larger footprint of our country. Just important to note, Chair and honorable members of the Appropriations Committee, that the NYDA in the last financial year has spent a total of $273 million on youth development alone. So for us, it speaks volumes in terms of how we are making and are committing ourselves to ensure that, you know, the business of young people is the business of our institution. So we've given quite a significant amount in terms of investment, quite a significant amount in terms of youth development. Moving on to my presentation, Chair, I'm going to go on to our first KPI, which is economic participation. I would direct the Chairperson and honorable members to slide 5 and slide 6. We have your performance information relating to strategic objectives on the left. Key performance, what are the indicators, what are the target things, what are our annual performance, and just the marks in terms of whether we've achieved it or not, and what would be the significant reason of achieving or not achieving. The first one really deals with the enhancement of participation of young people in the economy aimed at increasing job creation, entrepreneurship, participation, skills development, etc. So the number of young people that have been specifically targeted is 20,000 young entrepreneurs that have been reported. Out of the 20,000 young people that were we were planned to reach. We've reached a total of 36,000, over 36,000 young disciplinarians. So there, the annual target has been achieved by 81%. Again, there will be the trend in the presentation. You'll see that there's significant overachievement, as I explained, in terms of the partnerships that we draw in the middle of our financial year. We're proud to see that we are rolling out these programs and they're helping the lives of young people. They would come in with their resources to say, increase the footprint, and this allows us to be able to reach more young people outside of our resources. Another performance indicator under economic participation is the number of youth owned companies registered through CIPC, which used to be formerly known as CIPRO. Now, Chair, you would, one of the entries in terms of getting opportunities within the NYDA is the registration of businesses, because for young people to be able to get financial support from the institution, they have to have a registered business. So part of the services that we offer at the NYDA through a partnership with CIPC is the registration of business. We believe it's an entry point. It's something that we should be taking as part of our responsibilities in the NYDA. So our target of 500 new businesses created, and in sum, we created about 630 new businesses, exceeding our target by 26%. The CIPC chair has a new strategy this year of actually launching a self-service terminal, and we are moving on with our partnership with CIPC, and then they're going to put some of those key service terminals in our branch so that we can turn up more numbers in terms of registration of young people. So they're rolling out in November, so they're making at least two of our branches of pilot sites. And then once the pilot is concludes, then we could end time to negotiations in terms of if they cannot put these key terminals in all our 14 branches, so that young people can be able to take charge in terms of registering their own businesses, which would be then allow them to get non-financial products and access financial products, which is our grant program that we've just launched. Moving on, the number of young entrepreneurs funded through economic development programs, micro SME and external partners. Our target was 400 young people. We've reached about 1,833 young entrepreneurs, exceeding our target by 350%. Slide 7, another key performance indicator to provide financial support to young entrepreneurs, which is the value of funding efforts through economic development programs of the NYDA. There's been 30 million rand which has been set aside for funding that has been excellent. Our annual performance has exceeded by 1%. So we have been on target and we've been exceeded by 1%. Also, we understand that the volumes of unemployment in this country are staggering, and the worst affected here are young people in this country. And the NYDA, we understand the responsibility that lies on our shoulders, as well as that of the rest of government and the state of, in terms of creating jobs for young people. So that's part of the area which we want to continue to go, because we want to be able to make a credible and a valuable impact and a visible impact in terms of creating jobs for young people. But at the same time, moving to creating sustainable jobs for young people. So 800 jobs are our target. So we have taken 3,335 jobs, and our annual target has been exceeded by 316%. Again, departments like Transnet, departments like NASICA and ESCOM that come through the NYDA and say, we've got a number of jobs that are available for young people. Is it possible that you could tap into your job database? Is it possible that you could? And also some of our SMEs, they have a responsibility. By accessing funding, finance from the NYDA, their commitment is to make sure that at least they create, depending on the size of the business, they create one or two jobs for young people in their own communities and teach them and transfer skills that are necessary for that young people to either start their own business or to move on and get a job. The value of businesses accessed by youth entrepreneurs through economic development programs, which is your market negative. A young person would start their own business, and the business would be viable enough for the NYDA to fund, but also we believe that we need to go a step further and do hand-holding in terms of where our young people are going with their entrepreneurial expectation. So we hold their hand and we open the door in terms of we create market linkage for them. So 5 million worth of businesses opportunities have been offered. Our annual performance is indicating that we exceeded that by 640%, looking at over 37 million worth of businesses opportunities offered for you. Chair, I move on to slide 8. What type of business support? To provide business support to young people, the number of entrepreneurs access equity and business opportunities through EDU programs. Our target was 50 entrepreneurs, and our annual performance has been 57 entrepreneurs access business opportunities, exceeding our annual target by 40%. The implementation of special projects in the scaling of youth enterprise support to young entrepreneurs. The number of young people supported through the Ituba Lenta Micro Enterprise Intervention, 36 projects were supported, 3 projects. Our annual performance was 3 projects. And there is a remark in terms of why we have not reached those numbers, which is one of the areas that we're looking for in our strategic planning session. We plan to galvanize more partners so that they can be able to assist us in terms of this KPI. Because the main CD remains part of our key strategic performance areas for new financial year. To facilitate and provide employment opportunities to young people, the NYDA share has created 1,315 jobs that have been facilitated. Again, I've made reference in terms of companies, government professionals coming on board, as well as young people who have businesses who have grown through the support of the NYDA and taking on more young people to come and give them permanent jobs or temporary jobs to provide business support, information to young people. This is essentially the road to entrepreneurship, because we believe that young people must get the necessary toolkit for business. So the NYDA, we provide a toolkit in terms of how the young people actually start their own businesses, going through the economic development program, and all of those aspects in terms of how to start a business, and accessing the voucher program that will allow them to come up with a credible business plan that they would be considered for funding in the NYDA. So we've done 3 communication campaigns, and our annual performance has been 6, so the annual target has been reached exceeded by 100%. We do this through newspapers, we do this through radio, and also we go to outreach. Apart from young people accessing products and services through the branches, we have 4 outreach trucks that go out to young people in the remote areas of our South Africa to go, and the mobile units of the NYD are fully contain all our products and services, so we're open them up to young people who will probably stay outside for a maximum of 2 days to make sure that young people do expose to the services, the products offered by the NYDA. If they cannot reach our nearest local youth offices, or they cannot reach our fully or full service market. To design and implement specific interventions for young women and persons with disabilities and youth in rural areas. Number of outreach activities targeted at women, persons with disabilities and in rural youth. The target was 4 outreach activities that were planned. The annual performance is achieved. We have done those 4 outreach activities. Chair, also, what we do at the NYDA, we have our targets in terms of our outreach program. But where a municipality or we see a business summit, for example, taking place in the Gulf, we would then write to us, and then we'll respond to say, outside of what we've already planned, what's in our means in terms of our resources so that we can go out and make sure that where we have a number of young people that are in one place, we want to make sure that we reach those young people and we do it through our outreach activities. Slide 10, honourable members, you see that we know that we want to drill into the details, see what provinces are we targeting. So we went into detail and eventually broke down in terms of province and numbers, so that we know when we go to a strategic planning cycle, we want to understand which of these areas of these provinces that we are reaching and which ones that we are not reaching as aggressively enough. So what we do when we go back into these numbers that are telling us where we should be plowing our resources the most. And also our policy and research team helps us with congruent information and research that supports our strategy in terms of, you know, where should we be reaching our people? Where are they? What are they most in need of in terms of our resources? Thank you, Chair. I'll move on to slide 11. So these are self-explanatory, really, in terms of our provincial breakdown of our EB program until slide 13. And then I move on to slide 14, which is education, ladies and gentlemen, and skills development, which forms part of our KPA for this financial year, which Chairman, is one of our strategic priorities for the new financial year. I'm sure you've read in the newspapers that the NYDA is launching one of the biggest scholarship funds in the country. We plowed resources of $10 million, and the Department of Education has assisted us with an additional $10 million. So $20 million will go towards scholarships for young people in this new financial year. So we're working through a total of 10 universities with 9 different provinces, so that young people can be able to access opportunities, so that there is no barrier to entry for them when it comes to higher education. We believe that everybody has a right to access higher education, and we know that that's eventually going to open doors for formal employment, which young people really need. So slide 15, we'll talk about just the performance information there. Our strategic objectives, one of our strategic objectives was to finalize and implement education opportunity in order to improve the quality of education of young people. Our target was 2,000 youth, so we've reached over 900, above our target, 950 above our target. The number of youth who received bursaries, apart from the Solomon Mashango Scholarship Fund Chair that we launched this year, the NYDA have always been committing itself to providing financial assistance in terms of bursaries. So what we've done is that because it's one of our strategic priorities for this financial year, we've decided to update it, looking at obviously our research outcomes in terms of, we know that yes, young people want to access business opportunities, but part of the, one of the key indicators from our research indicates that young people want access to higher education. So we want to open those doors of learning to young people. So we've always been giving away bursaries. So our target was 10 youth. So our budget allowed us to give over 105 young people. So we've achieved our annual target by 950%. And just the scholarships, we've reached 11 youth. We've exceeded our target by 10%. And we also wanted to facilitate and implement technical training for young people. So the number of youth who attended technical training skills program, we've got 2,124 young people, and we've achieved our target by 6%. On the bottom of page 15, we wanted to facilitate and implement life and professional skills training programs for young people. The number of youth attended job preparedness programs, we've reached about 14,000 young people, and our annual target has been achieved by 17%. And also, as part of our, we offer our skills training program, which has reached this year about 4,652 young people, exceeding our target by 55%. And on page 15 again, Chair, we look at, we broke down the numbers in terms of our matric rights program, in terms of provinces and how many young people have been targeted during this period. This program is continuing this financial year, and when we come back again to present, you will see that the rollout of the program will take place in quarter 3 and quarter 4. Moving on to policy and research, this is key performance indicator number 3 on slide 19. What we don't want to do in the NYDA chair is to shoot in the dark in terms of putting together strategies that will assist and facilitate youth development for young people. So our policy and research team are quite instrumental in terms of assisting us with information. With information in terms of where are these young people, what we should be doing for young people, where must we be coming a majority of our resources. So we included this as our performance indicator. And also our policy and research team have quite been instrumental in influencing our government departments in terms of our research, in terms of where can they plow resources for young people. So one of our strategic objectives was to create and produce youth development information
really knowledge part which will inform public, private sector, civil society in terms of programs related to government priorities. So the number of youth developing information and knowledge products that have been generated by the MIDA. We had a target of 62 publications which relate really to research, evaluation and partner reports. We've churned out 86 publications. We've achieved our target by 39%. Those information gets disseminated to various government departments and they are available through our website so that young people can be able to access. And some researchers who do research on young people on youth development could access those documents. We've been very transparent in terms of our policy and research. The number of young people, of youth development information and knowledge access and points in the private sector, NGO and public sector, 8 information dissemination points, and our annual performance has been 15 dissemination points. A number of youth development information and knowledge products packaged by the NYDA. So we've had 59 research reports that we've done, 71 information and knowledge publications achieved, again exceeding our target by 20%. And also what we do with the policy and research, we have a number of requests for youth development in information and knowledge products. So we've had 46 information and knowledge products requested by various government departments and private sector. So 51 information and knowledge requests have been achieving our target by 11%. A number of copies, which is hard and electronic, produced by the research and policy cluster. As I earlier indicated, Chairperson, that we do make this information available extensively to those who need it, that they can also assist. They also use in terms of making sure that where do they hit in terms of youth development. So our annual target has been achieved by 524%. Another strategic objective of the department is to facilitate youth development as a recognized profession. We have 100 youth practitioners trained, that was our target, and we have 105 youth practitioners trained, exceeding our target by 5%. They are trained on youth work qualification as well as youth standards. We also developed a code of ethics for youth work. There is a draft code of ethics that is being developed. And the approval will follow and the enactment of the professionalization of youth work again. And also to provide and facilitate capacity building for youth development practitioners, our target was 15 youth development threat interventions. We achieved 40, achieving our target by 107%. I will direct honourable members to slide 21, which is our key performance area number 4, which is partnerships and stakeholder management. This is one area that we're trying to intensify at the NYDA. Slide 21 as well as 22. This is one of the areas that we're trying to intensify at the NYDA because we do not want to use our limited resources statement as a patch. But we want to be able to use it as a tool to leverage resources among public and private sector in terms of making sure that young people and the private and public sector partners understand that we cannot do this work alone. We need partners to come on board who are equally passionate and also are interested in making the business of young people a priority in their departments. This year, just only last week, apart from the IDC and CIPA partnership, we have secured an additional 10 million rand from IDC to say there is an NYDA, there's an area that you are doing right, which is your non-financial support to young people. We know that it is an over, there is a demand in that sector, so they're plowing 10 million rand into non-financial support to young people. So for us, it's one of the things that we are very proud of, because we want to be able to push quite strongly in that area of partnership and stakeholder management so that we can be able to leverage funds from other institutions who favor youth development. Part of our strategic objective there was to lobby key stakeholders and institutions in the public and private and civil society sectors, including international donor agencies, to support the work of youth development initiatives. So our target was to go and lobby 10 government departments. We've lobbied 11 government departments
and we've achieved a 10%. We've exceeded our target by 18%. We've also approached about 18 provincial departments in order to establish youth directorates. Our annual performance of 20 provincial government departments, we've exceeded in this area by 11%. And also, just opposed to that is also the area of our local youth offices that are being established. The MOUs are designed, and there's a growing number of our local youth offices, increasing the NYB's footprint beyond its footprint itself. The number of municipalities that are lobbied, our target was 16 municipalities, and our annual performance was achieved by 19%. You understand that, lobbying and advocating for youth development, it's a time-consuming. It needs constant, interaction and decision-makers at that level. So I think we've done fairly well in this area of making sure that we go to these municipalities and talk about the business of the NYDA and try for them to incorporate us, apart from what they've done for youth development in their IDP, so that incorporate the NYDA as a strategic partner, making sure that the vehicle of youth development is not stagnant, but it moves and it responds to the needs of those young people in those particular municipalities. We also dialogue related to racial integration, work, youth work, health and wellness, national youth service and social cohesion. So we've done 11 dialogues around the country, and our target has been exceeded by 33%. I turn on to slide 23, honourable members. Not only we lobby government departments as well as our local municipalities, we also lobby the private sector, who have a vested interest in youth development. So we've got about 30 engagements with the private sector. So we've achieved our target by 50%. The number of young women who are mobilized to participate in women development programs, we had a target of 1,000 young women, and we've exceeded that by 62%, reaching a total of 1,622 young people. Also, partnerships that are established with government, civil society, and private sector. We currently have 18 partnerships that we've achieved, and we've achieved this target by 20%. And also, we believe in two strategies, which is acquisition and retention, acquiring new partners so that we can keep facilitating the development, and also keeping the current relationships and strengthening them and leveraging more opportunities. So the number of our target was one recognition event, so we didn't have, in our next financial strategic planning session, we will have a strategy in terms of how we make sure that we intensify our existing partnerships. And we want to lobby and involve quite extensively the chair and the deputy chair in terms of going out there and maintaining donor and partnership. To host a fundraising event or initiative, we have not been successful. But the event that was planned in March, the preparation, however, due to the low response rate, the event did not take place. So those are the areas in which we are trying to intensify. Honourable members, allow me to move on to our fifth KPA, which is communication and youth advisory services, which is slide 24, and going on to slide 25. Just the performance information. Our strategic objective was to provide career guidance services to young people. The number of youth that were targeted for the 2012-2013 financial year is 2,600 young people. So we've reached our annual performance has been over 12,000 young people have accessed career guidance, and our target has been achieved by 392%. And also a number of youth provided on career guidance. We've exceeded the target by 40%. Our target was 397,000 young people. We've also accessed more than 500,000 young people. For us, it's quite important that young people make informed choices in terms of their careers. And also, we go a step further in encouraging young people to choose career streams that the South African's current demand in terms of skills is aligned to that. So we want to encourage them through this victory as well. We had a new Solomon Macham with scholarship fund. We've also listed contact criteria in terms of the areas of study that we'd like to prioritize and those are aligned to the demands of the skills that this country is facing. The number of people receiving information or referrals for NYDA access points through walk-ins, 90,000 young people as our target. We have about 146,348 young people who walk into our branches. Our target has been exceeded by 63%. Not only do our young people walk into our branches, they walk into our local youth offices, and they also make use of our free, of our toll-free set call center so that they can access information. Whatever is available, we want our strategy has always been to make sure that our communication to young people is uniform. The information that you get in branches, you get it in our call center, you also get it at the office. So we've tried very hard in terms of improving systems in the way we communicate to young people. So we have reports on a monthly basis that tell us exactly what kind of products and services that young people want to find. And we make sure that the information is up to date in terms of our electronics as well as our call centers. Estimate the number of youth provided with information and referrals through the NYDA outreach program. Our target for the last financial year was 370,000 young people. We've reached just about 500,000 young people, exceeding our target to 28%. I had shared this information earlier, just as well about our outreach program, apart from our walking. Also, of the NYDA captured beneficial stories, young people who have gone through the system of the NYDA in terms of assessing finance and non-financial. There's 40 beneficiary stories that are part, we are our target group. We've profiled 295 beneficiary stories, exceeding our target by 640%. And also the number of portal visits to the NYDA website. There have been over 500,000, whereas our target was 350,000 young people to visit our portal. Not only do we have a website, we also have a mobile site, so that when young people can't access, can't get in front of a computer, they can access it through their phone information that is into the NYDA. Again, we've done a provincial breakdown in terms of new KPIs that I've mentioned on slide 26, in terms of by province, in terms of the number of people receiving information referrals for our access points in our working. Shepperton, we understand the footprint is quite large, and we are trying to make sure that we reach as many young people as possible. We have about 4 outreach trucks out there every weekend going out to access young people. Because of our resources, we can't increase the number of those trucks. Like ID, FDC has shared with me, our service delivery channel executive has shared with me, ideally we would like to have about 10, at least one outreach van reaching the people. So those are the things, you know, when we talk about limited resources, we are referring to service delivery on the ground. So we want to be able to highlight that to members so that in our next budgetary process we make sure that at least we know the partners that could have looked at in terms of making sure that our footprint is larger so that we can reach even the most remote parts of the country. Slide 27 and 28. I'll move on to KPA, Key Performance Area Number 6, which is the next National Youth Service and Social Cohesion. We have about 3 strategic objectives there, which I'll quickly go through. Build a culture of community service among youth, and obviously providing young people with an opportunity to learn and while serving their community. Our key performance indicator was the number of young people enrolled in our National Youth Service NYDA project, which is 15,000 youth, and our performance this past financial year has been 17,225 young people, exceeding our target by 15%. The number of institutions that have been registered, we have 17 institutions registered. The number of young people who participate in youth leadership programs, over 2,253 young people. The number of, also we want to promote opportunities for young people to serve in their communities through the Youth Build Program and the Proud to Build campaign. We've had over 12,000 young people going through the National Youth Service Program in the past financial year, and exceeded this by 10% Also, Chairperson, there's a strategic forecast this year. The board has made a decision to clean up the youth build as one of the core youth national youth service programs. So it clouds a lot of resources into the youth build program, which takes young people to serve in their communities, but also learn traits that are going to be useful in terms of them finding secure employment in the future. So we work with the National Housing Agency as well as NHBRC to assist young people in learning the technical aspects of building, as well as the Department of Human Settlements. Create a platform for young people to participate in and benefit from democratic processes and promote social cohesion. So we've reached over 24,000 young people in 12 social content participation, as well as the dialogue that we hope is exceeding our target by 145%. Again, there's a provincial breakdown of the selected KPIs from the Eastern Cape through all of these unspecified switches, which is recorded through our outreach programs as well. Okay, I move on to slide 32, which is our key performance area number 10, which is sports, recreation, and arts, as well as KPI number 8, health and well-being, which remains one of our core strategic areas of this financial year as well. We want young people to promote the participation of young people in sports and youth activities. So the number of young people who have participated, our target was 2,000. We've managed to reach 3,000, over 3,000 young people, achieving our target by 53%. And the health and well-being, to increase awareness of the healthy lifestyle that promotes good health among young people, and also sensitizing, also giving factual information in terms of the social ills that are being experienced by young people in this country, which is the HIV, AIDS, and substance abuse. Giving lessons on sexual and reproductive health as well. Our target was 4,000 young people, we reached over 4,000 young people, exceeding our target by 4%. In some areas, we've noticed that there is a dire need for in some schools in the more and more areas, we've launched our Sisters for Life campaign, which we give sanitary towels to young people, dignity packs to young people, so that we believe that also one of the areas in which we need to make sure that we enhance the financial. Again, the provincial breakdown in terms of the number that we reached, the number of young people participating in these programs on slide 34 and slide 35. Coming closer to an end. Slide 36, which is our KPA number 9, which deals with governance and administration. One of our strategic objectives there is to provide administrative and operational support to service delivery. Our target number of NYD local information and dissemination access points, we've got about 20 access points. Our annual performance, we've exceeded by 160, and we've achieved 62 access points for young people in which they can access information. And again, strategic objective number 2, talk about the effective and efficient utilization of resources through your IT system, your business operation system. Our key performance indicator was to have a functional integrated IT system. So we completed all of those CRM, which is our customer relations management database, which stores the data of young people in terms of young people who have gone through our local, our full service branches. What training have they accessed? What training have they not accessed? So even every branch, including head office, is sitting with certain information to say, how many young people have gone through our system so that we can be able to churn up credible reports in terms of our reporting. So we upgraded our systems and we are in the process of making sure that with this new grant program, we have an IT system that talks to the program as well. So we talked about efficient and effective utilization of resources through the provision of technology and business operating systems. So we have a number of employees and board members attending NYDA capacity building programs. The target is 150 employees. We managed to reach 560 employees as well as board members achieving our target by 47%. We believe in capacitating our staff, not only at head office and at branch level, in terms of making sure that the information that they give and the level of support that they give to young people is always at most highest of level. Enhanced performance and management systems to support organizational performance. So we do energy appraisal completed by staff members and obviously the performance supplement. We have a performance supplement system that we have in the organization that monitors performance of our employees so that we can be able to match their performance with their remuneration. Functional internal audits. We've got acceptable internal control, but in the management part of the AD, it is by the fact the NYPA needs to strongly improve on the area. I'd like to share with members that we have fixed their measures that we've put in place, which the CFO will share, and also we've got the what we call technical assistance from National Treasury, where they come in into the organization and look at areas in which we could improve so that they could read the strategic direction and technical and professional advice in terms of how do we make sure that our internal controls are in place so that we can be able to do things better. Part of our strategic objective is to ensure compliance with all applicable sections and policies. We've achieved our key performance indicators and unqualified audit. So we have an unqualified audit report, and that annual performance is not measurable, but we have now sitting with us an unqualified audit, but also pointing all of the areas that have been cited by AG. Slide 39 and slide 40 talk about our key performance area number 10, which is a national youth fund. The strategic objective of the national youth fund is to mobilize and leverage financial contributions from third parties to implement programs outlined in the and to increase the number of young people benefiting from these. The key performance indicator was the value of funds and raised. Our target was 15 million. We've raised 15 million above our target, so the annual target has been increased in 31%. These are the kind of funds that you can see that the overachievement in terms of our KPI would then come from all of these resources that keep on coming from our door. So, Chairperson and honorable members, that concludes my presentation on performance. And I will hand over to Mr. Kumba, who is our Chief Financial Officer, to talk about measures made by the Auditor General as well as through the annual report. Thank you very much to the members for your attention.
Thank you for the presentation. I have more of a presentation. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and Honorable Members of the Association Committee. As indicated, I will take you through the financial section of the annual report. Chair, I would want to first just indicate that we are here to account to this committee in terms of how we have utilized the resources that have been allocated to us at the National Youth Development Agency for the 2012-2013 financial year. We will do so, Honorable Chair, by understanding and appreciating that we are public servants. Who have been entrusted with the responsibility of ensuring that the government resources that are collected through the taxes, finances that are contributed by ordinary citizens of the country, must be invested in building a better South Africa and ensuring that young South Africans are able to live the South African dream of a better life for all. We come here before you, honorable members, a young institution, which is 4 years old, a growing institution and a learning institution.
will come before you to present an annual report that is not necessarily perfect. An annual report that shows significant improvement on where we come from. Whilst we acknowledge the significant improvement that we've seen over a number of years, we're not celebrating. We're not happy. We want to do more to ensure that we ensure that youth development becomes a reality. But we also come before you to be confident, because we understand that as public representatives, you part of your role is to assist us in doing things better and doing them differently. So we're here to be confident. What we appreciate that we must be held accountable. We also are hoping for an opportunity or an engagement that will assist us to do better. With that said, I want to then delve directly into the issues as raised by the Auditor General, more so to acknowledge the contribution that we are receiving from the work that the Auditor General is doing, because they not only tell us or indicate to us the areas where we need to improve, or the areas where we are not necessarily doing things right, but they also offer their advice on how to do things better. And I can say that as management and the board of the NYDA, we are committed to implementing the recommendations of the Auditor General in order to ensure that we are able to achieve a clean governance as well as an assurance that indeed we are able to utilize the resources given to us in a more beneficial way for the young people of South Africa. The first slide basically represents an indication of the history. We have received some qualified opinions for the past 4 years of existence. But whilst we acknowledge this, we want to say that, as I already indicated, more work needs to be done, and we're committed to doing more work to ensure that we improve the situation. Because whilst those generally have given us the unqualified opinion in this number of years, we have continuously raised areas of improvement, and we have started implementing recommendations that has provided to us. The second slide speaks to the emphasis of mentors. We are indicating that over the years, the emphasis of mentors that have been raised at the Auditor General, we have paid attention to them, we have addressed them, and we are in a situation where now we are sitting with only one emphasis of mentors. But we are committed once again to make sure that we eradicate all of this emphasis of mentors. I want to spend some time in explaining the emphasis of mentors that the Auditor General has emphasized in this 2012-2013 annual report, which relates to the intent of the law. I think it's an important thing, and one of the good members, that we are able to contextualize the challenges that relate to the challenges of collecting the loan advances that have been made to these young people. And I think the first thing that one would like to highlight is that a reflection of the nature and character of the beneficiary of the NYDA financing program. It is a young person who ordinarily other institutions that assist people out there with financing, whether it be the commercial bank, whether it be even some of the DFIs within the public sector, it would not necessarily qualify because of the kind of profile that this young person is characterized by because of material conditions. Now, the reality of it is that some of these people who are coming for us are young people who find that this young person is staying in a shack in Tenerife. If a person comes to the doors of the NYDA and says, I have a business idea, I have a thing. And when we evaluate this business idea and this business concept, we find value. We find that it shows a market strength to can compete and be a sustainable business idea. Why does a person have not even a single asset that he can use as a surety or a collateral? We must invest in that dream, because that is our role as a development institution. So that is what we do. So what you will find is that if this business interface, we don't really have much to go on to. But also the other realistic challenge that we face as a developing economy. were characterized by high levels of unemployment and poverty. It is pushing like that. Young people will take every single opportunity that they see out there, that they see as a way out of poverty. Even those who are not necessarily better dreamers, or who are not necessarily committed to entrepreneurship, if they hear and they know that the NYDA can assist with financing for a small business, they will go there simply as a way of escaping poverty. Now the reality of that is that you will find those type of people coming and accessing these resources, 6 months down the line, different person receives an internship somewhere from a government department and they drop the business and they go to that opportunity because when they came there in the first place, they were not necessarily committed into entrepreneurship, they just wanted a way out of poverty. So those are some of the challenges that we have to contend with. But acknowledging all this, we also understand that as a government agency, as a development agency, we have that responsibility of going the extra mile, going where the private sector will not go because of the high risk. We understand that our economy is growing, but for us to grow our economy, we need to grow entrepreneurship in the country. So entrepreneurship activity must increase. So because we know that the private sector will not go and invest in these young people, as the government agency, we are taking that responsibility. We will go out there. We will take a risk that everybody else doesn't want to take. We will invest in the resources. We will create entrepreneurs out of these young people. Once we have created entrepreneurs out of these young people, we will then hand them off. So the higher the risk, the higher the return. So that is the example that we are saying, and somebody has to do it, and it is us who has to do it, and we have done it, and these are some of the consequences, the unintended consequences of that drive to create entrepreneurs out of these young people and grow the economy. So those are some of the challenges that I thought I should just highlight so that there is a contextualization of the challenge of the inability of collecting some of these loans. As far as about it, the global economy is struggling to recover from the economic meltdown, and that continues to put strain on new businesses, especially those that are owned by young people. So the economic conditions themselves are not certainly favorable. But also, these businesses, because they are owned by young people, they leverage for confidence by those that not provide these young people with opportunity to train them to grow their businesses. They're quite low. Because those who provide them with the opportunity, the confidence, they're not sure if they give these young people a contract, if they deliver in time to deliver the right quality and the right quantity and so forth and so on. So those are some of the challenges that we have to contend with. Every step that everyone has been addressed,
you have given this paper. I think it doesn't start now in the presentation.
Okay.
You have really motivated. And one of the top, I think, you have
competition. I would want to conclude that point by just indicating that we remain committed to collecting this book. We are exploring and implementing various measures to ensure that we collect these loans. We are taking some of these beneficiaries from the legal processes, those of that on assessments who have identified that they have the need to pay. They just, primarily do not continue to pay. And we continue to assist those who are driving either with magazines or restructuring their loans so that they are able to pay better. And we are exploring also the possibilities of ensuring that we get the services of debt collectors who can assist us in some of these challenges. Some of the issues over and above the emphasis of debt that the Welfare General has raised, beyond that there are a number of other issues that the Welfare General has highlighted in this report, as a matter that needs immediate management attention in order to improve the financial management and governance processes of the NYDA. Among those is the issues of the correction for the financial statement after submission for audit, an issue that we have noted and we have implemented a mitigating factors of plan to ensure that such issues do not happen in the future. One of the things that we are going to, we have started to implement, Chairperson and one of the members, is that as we speak now, the finance team is busy processing and they put together the half-year financial statement. The half-year financial statement will be a comprehensive financial statement, as the one that you will get into now. The full annual report is not announced and things like that. So what we'll be doing from that moment moving forward, honorable members, is to ensure that we'll be producing a full set of financial statements on a monthly basis. So we'll be rolling over transition. So once we do the half-year financial statements now, which will account for the month of the financial year, every month we'll be hitting transactions and events of the past month. This will ensure that when we hit the end of the financial year, which will be the first month, in April, as we prepare, the final set of financial statements will only bring in the transactions and the events of the past month. This will leave less room for error, because we'll be continuously monitoring that thing is done according to the accounting standards and the regulations. So we think that that will assist us to avoid the challenges that the Australian General has implemented, has indicated to us. But also, here, just to indicate that with the support of the Audit Committee, we have also agreed that before the end in the new year, the calendar year, the General Audit will also do a review of the state of the rating of the financial statements to ensure that if there are certain things that are required to fix, we get an opportunity to fix both before the end of the financial year and before the Audit General comes with for the final review. The Audit General also raised the issues regarding expenditure management. In this regard, we have acknowledged the shortcomings that has been there. Although we have made significant progress at the end of the 2013 financial year, a lot needs to be done. And in this regard, we continue to commit in strengthening our supply chain management policies to ensure that even when we pick up food and services, we do so in compliance with all the relevant legislation that's provided for by the DSMA and trade regulations. In that regard, part of the initiatives that we're taking or that we are implementing is what the acting CEO has already alluded to. The National Treasury has the technical department that its aim and its sole aim is to assist departments, state entities and the government departments with the strengthening of capacity and advice to make sure that the policies and procedures, as well as the manner in which we procure goods and services is in line with the regulation. So we will be engaging the technical session to ensure that we strengthen our procurement process. But over and above that, the policies have been reviewed to ensure that they are in line with the latest legislation that touches most of the issues by the Treasury, by the National Treasury. We have also implemented the supply chain checklist, and we have also implemented processes where all transactions before the procurement of goods and services is done by the various divisions are checked for compliance with the regulation by the supply chain management unit, which will assist us in ensuring that all transactions indeed comply with the relevant legislation. Amazing detail. That this has led to the other that we're beginning to see. And again, it came that as we sit here in half year, the regular expenditure that has been recorded is sitting at only 4.2 million, which is a significant process. As management to 4.2 million. And from our side, we are committed to making sure that figure does not grow. And where it doesn't take place and it grows, it doesn't grow. Number. So some of these mechanisms that we have implemented are the ones that we are confident that we will be able to achieve clean governance sooner rather than later. Among other issues, the Auditor General raised issues in relation to revenue management. In this regard, our biggest challenge so far as revenue management is concerned remains our inability to collect the loans. I'm not very much in this aspect because I've already spoken to it and I've spoken to the issue of payment. The challenges around the question, but also the mitigating plans that we're putting to ensure that moving forward we're able to collect this money that are owed to the agency. In so far as the procurement and contract management, it contains, I think, the indications that have been highlighted earlier on of improving our policies, amending them, ensuring that they comply with legislation. Also, the scheme of the assistance from the technical unit of the National Treasury, as well as the appointment of an experienced senior supply chain manager, will have put us to go a long way to completely eradicate issues of non-compliance, but also ensuring that we are procuring our goods and services in a more efficient and cost-effective way, or a cost-effective manner. We have also, in relation to the issues of internal control, that the Water General has indicated we have strengthened those controls. We have tightened reviews mainly on any transactions and money transactions. And do my work before ensuring that this is done in line with legislation, in line with accounting standards. And we are monitoring this closely. And we're confident that moving forward, the control environment will improve. But mostly with the support of the new board chair. We are seeing a commitment to good governance, a commitment to the improvement of doing things right, and we are seeing that such support will go a long way in ensuring that we improve the financial management processes of the agency moving forward. With that, that part of the issue that has been raised by General, I want to conclude with the issue of non-compliance with the Mineral Credit Act. In this regard, the non-compliance will prevent submission of annual reports to the entity responsible for enforcing the National Credit Act. Such issues have been effectively addressed, and for the year that we're in now, for the 2012-2013 financial year, in which we were supposed to make the submission before the 30th of December, such issues have been addressed. So that is a progress. Good progress, and the intention is to maintain this moving forward, Chair and Honourable Member. Just to move away from the issues raised by the Water General, just to reflect a bit on the financials of the organisation itself, I would just want to highlight that the Honourable Members would know that we have reported a deficit in our treadmill of performance or treadmill of comprehensive income. The reason for that is that we would have requested for certain funds to be rolled over from the National Treasury. These are funds that related to projects that do not necessarily run concurrently with the financial year of the organization. We would find that the project might be implemented in for example, in November. That project must run for 6 months, or it must run for a full 12 months. When the year ends on the 1st of March, we have found that they were related to that kind of project, and we had asked for a rollover from the National Treasury, and the National Treasury approved those rollovers for the expenditure happening in the financial year, whereas we would have accounted for the revenue in the prior year. So that will make sense of the financial as they are shared before we take it on a regular. I won't say again, I won't speak to the issues in detail with relation to the impairment of assets, because I have spoken to this earlier on. We have just indicated that the net worth of the agency as of 31st March is 65 million, and we have just highlighted how the revenue of the organization has been made up of, with revenue from excess transaction of about 24 million. And the revenue from non-exchange transaction, which is specifically the grant that we received from the president of Atlanta, is 2 million per year. And that's to highlight the ACMP has already spoken to some of the issues related to the investment in new development. We have spent 5 million for the year of operating expenses, 246 million related to new development projects, and 7 million related to grant funds. This is an in and out type of transaction, and its expenses are incurred in relation to the project that are specifically directed by the contractual agreement of the directive of those who donate the funds to us. And I think maybe one more thing that is worth mentioning is that the from a cash flow point of view, you will note that in our annual report you will see that we have with a net resources or we have fund of about 75 million at year end. Just to bring relevance to 25 million and to explain that does not mean that the NYC did not spend the resources allocated to it that related to specifically immediate and short-term expenses that we had to honor for the last month of the financial year. You would note that about 1 million of that related to normal trade, the other payables that are due within 30 days of the PSME, is an accrual of provisions that related to employee costs, for that provision, and things like leave provisions of about 60 million. And first, the donor funds income, the fund that we can't even touch in any case, because that's specifically a grant of the NYC for specific purposes. And that we also had funding of the fund. We had tied to other partnerships, which in certain instances is state to state, in other instances is the NYC with the private sector, with the requirement that must open separate bank accounts for this, and the funds must utilize separate national services for the NYC. Those are just all amounts of about 30 million in the year. And about 30 million of the remainder of that 30 million relates to projects that have been carried, some of them do not necessarily run the same lifespan as the financial year. With that, I want to thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you, Honorable Members, and hope once again, as I mentioned in the beginning, that we will not want the monopoly of pushers. We are young, we are willing to learn, and we are willing to become self, and we are looking for practice, discipline, and guidance moving forward. Thank you.
Sorry, Jam, yeah, you too. Yeah, just to quickly summarize, I think that the two reports that the committee has been presented with here, just a few things coming out of it in conclusion. The capacity challenges in the NYE. We simply don't have the capacity to respond to the demands. But in saying that, a young person has indicated who will come into an NYE branch would not be told, no, we can't help. Rather, if you're applying for a loan, it's IDC. FIFA, and so we are utilizing, we will be utilizing the referrals. But in that point, Chair, we also want to highlight the instrumental role that the organization. One of the things that we've really come to appreciate, especially from Deputy Minister Obel Bambena, is the emphasis on government departments to work more with NYC. We've seen his role in terms of, in fact, instructing a lot of government departments asking critical questions, where are your youth directors that were supposed to be established. There's been more of an emphasis from various government departments to say to us at the NYDA once at least one flagship program will do. Simply because of the role that Minister Bokhela, Deputy Minister Bokhela has been playing and Mr. Chimano. We really want to appreciate that role. So we actually think that that could mitigate the capacity challenges. But again, it also doesn't take away, for example, in the report, which in the future, we've got a target of 500 grants. We've got 1,700 we are sitting with 1,700 applications. Meaning that no matter what we do, even if we exceed that target, at least 1,200 young people are not going to be happy with the NYC and will be asking why we don't get a grant. So on the other hand, we are saying that these are the new program. How much more could we do if we had more? Whilst at the same time addressing the challenges of governance and administration that we are facing. So, Chair, I wanted to highlight some of those matters and to give an indication to the committee about what we're talking about for the future. IDC has already given us 10 million rand of a voucher program because they think it's an excellent program for business development support. National Skills Fund has said to us, we like the Mashamba scholarship, they want 10 million for that. They're giving us an extra 10 million for critical and scarce skills to be channeled into the Solomon Mashamba scholarship. So this is how we are utilizing the partnership and all of the executives have been getting. The Chair last to say, as echoed by the CFO, we're not celebrating this report amongst ourselves. We are challenging ourselves to do better. And with the report, we close the chapter of NYGA, but we also open a new chapter of rebuilding an NYGA that is clever and capable to develop to the needs of young people. So, Chair, with that, I thank you.
As I would say, you'll agree with me that the presentation was a real shock, you know. But that is an annual report. Well, thank you very much for the presentation.
honorable food.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we will speak to the issue and acknowledge that the board has analyzed the issue that puts the institution in a tricky position over the time of the report, and they come up with plans on how to overcome our challenge. But I think it's our kind of collective responsibility as this committee to ensure that the MRDA comes before us when a report is put, that we monitor the implementation and assist them in achieving their goals. But to achieve those goals, if we're going to have certain challenges in terms of what kind of corrective measures to put in place to change the culture of the organization, accountability issues, and maybe you can give us an example of what you've taken on that you've done in respect to accountability, to respect of change management, to be able to start collectively achieving your goals. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you also for the input by the acting Chief Executive Officer and the Treasurer, as well as the Chair. My question will be more specific. I see in the report that 63 million rand in irregular expenditure in the annual report of 2012-2013. Now, can you tell us what is being done to make sure that those who are responsible are made accountable for that? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I do start off with slide 4, which relates to the gross level of 212 million, of which 192 million, 90% is doubtful. It's dangerous. But, on that slide, you seem to also be saying, whilst the line has stopped loan financing, the current loan pool is continuing, are you not going to provide any loans in future? Is that what you're saying? That is my question. Secondly, Chair, the AG, as you know, has not been very complimentary about the National Development Agency, but I see that you are noticing it and that you are attending it, which is good. I hear the presentation that you've achieved all these targets, and some exceeded by 1,000% and 600%. Your targets are too low. That is correct. They are not realistic. I think you could do better than that. Based on that, you've made yourself a 97 million rand bonus, but in any case, that's money or less than what an issue is. What worries me, Chair, is that more than the actual the quantity is reached, but now we know about quality. If you take an example, especially if you look at that, people who do the degree right, say 2002, you say, oh, I'll achieve my target for 2002. I want to know how many of those actually succeed, how many pass. I want to know if I can get you another few hundred that will go right to examine it also. We want positive. As both on the indicators for KPI. Then I would just like to follow on the question by Honorable Governor. We know the CEO is no longer with you, the previous CEO, and we'd just like to find out whether, in fact, you are taking steps against him. And then just the last, the board of general in reporting, told us that he didn't order the youth conference that you had, but we spent on how many million, because it's the subject of investigation by the public sector. Now, if that report turns out to be negative, I think, the world report will really do terrible.
Thank you. I think
the
first thank you very much, Honorable Chairman, for members and I think it's fair to say that for a year there wasn't a board, and some of us were quite agitated about that because we were worried that some of the people that happened in the rising out of the report would happen. And so I think we welcome the proactive initiative of the report to try and get things sorted out in the NYK, although to say that they've got a long way to go. Some of the issues I wanted to recap is really, so I think we would like to prepare a teacher, first of all, on the procedure of expelling the CEO. I would really support the NYK in that regard, but I think what just happened afterwards with the CEO saying that he's taking the matter to labor court, so would like the NYK to take us into our own right now in terms of the procedure which they follow and arriving at that decision, so that those of us that support the decision can strengthen our support for them, because we want to see that NYGA, coming to what it's supposed to be. Some of us come from a youth school which does not want that NYGA wants to be suspended, but we continue to lend our support to them. So I think they've got that responsibility to take us into their own. Second, the AG emphasizes again the issue of the 2010 festival. I wrote that investigation for the protector, and she's complaining bitterly that she's not receiving the information that she wants. So from 2011 up to 2013, having since they wrote the investigation now grown, what is the bottleneck? Why is the public protector not able to access the information that she needs so that she can conclude the investigation, so that the findings of her report can either can tell us, give us a clearer picture, and so that the credibility of the NYGA can be resuscitated. So I think that also remains. Other issue, Chair, the CFO has mentioned that there's people accessing loans and they're getting improvements out to internships and so on, and they're getting those programs that have finance. In the new initiative, do you have an incubation program to ensure that those programs, so that that money does not go down the track, so that you can ensure the sustainability of those programs? Okay, the other point that I want to stress has been made is this one. Let us set realistic targets so that you can earn the bonuses. I mean, the percentages sound very good, 485%, 385% decreases. So let's look at the actual numbers, 100, 200, really. I think that we need to set realistic targets. So as an example, we can be confident that you are reaching maximum impact. Finally, the other issue remains that of access. Young South Africans continue to complain, rightly so, that they are not accessing the NYK. They're not feeling it on the ground, particularly those of us that come from rural areas. There's a rural suburb of Lamesh on the south coast of Baltimore. I don't know the NYK. I only know it because I have read in the papers and so on, what's up here. But the other thousands and millions of young South Africans in rural communities who are struggling with everything today. So I think that needs to be an urgent priority so we can do justice to the problem that you have. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairman.
I think I'm impressed with the report that's here. The NYGA is planning and is making some efforts to make sure that things are not needed. But my question is around the education side, where it says for this program of matric realize. Let me say, I have been my matric CFS. Am I part of the program? Or is it only for this year that people have failed? Can we look at it in that way? And in terms of targets, I would ask to put targets, I would suggest that we put targets according to the program. If it's 1,000, then it means every program is 5,000. So that we can be able to say, now you are rich, coming on form. And then I could hear that they are saying we need a clean audit. But I don't see which steps are you going to take to have a clean audit. This one is unqualified, but you want to have a clean one that is so good that there's no comment mind is, what are you going to do? Is this a job creation? Is it a permanent job? Or is this job for the sake of job? Are people lacking in those jobs for how many years? And then another question that I want to understand is to say, in your report, it's just you that they are not broken. Now I would have loved to see how many women, how many people with disabilities. I would love to see that. It's been very clear so that we should never generalize. Because for me now, it's general. And then we are also showing who is the benefit. The other thing is, when you look at this thing, that's what I'm saying, I'm going to program it. You find out how things have got so much, they benefit more than anyone. Is it because the officers are in conflict? What I would say. Because that's where they are in rural areas. So, you know, in your plan, you must make sure that you have more people in rural areas that can benefit out of it. And then, in terms of this supply chain management, is the person already hired? Or are you thinking about hiring someone? Because I couldn't hear it clearly. And then you talk about increase your capacity in financial and supply chain management, including you want to strengthen the control. But the question is, how? How do you do that? Because I don't see all the time today, all the things that you're talking about, the plan is not clear for each and every activity that you want to do. And you have some vacancies. Are you going to fill them? Or are you going to take them out? They don't exist anymore. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bruno. I also have your question about the spread, the geographic spread.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think we must appreciate the report from the board. This board is new. We know. I'm very happy I was part of the people who are still making it. Appointed by this board. Yes. That's why I follow them everywhere they go. That's why I always come and they're there. It's not that because I'm promoting what I appointed. Yeah. That's the most important point. But what we say is they must understand the fact that we want to appreciate. We told them that we're not going to be, because we know you were appointed, we're going to be sweet up to you. Because one intervention on that offer, we are not, please should understand that I am not going to be like very nice, even if we know each other. The 100 and page 22 of the annual report, you speak about the 100 and the expenditure, community improvement, but I mean for change. The 92, page 92 of the annual report. I didn't use the information. Well, I'm preparing yesterday. I didn't start yet. Now, the point is that, yes, you see this point of an improvement. But because we had kind of this extreme medium. Now, at least, irregular lost money, 62 million. Now, we must be a bit happy about it. But the point is that I'm not here with that. It's good, but we can't be happy. That the 62 million that is lost of the public money. It's like saying, for instance, we have unqualified. You know, an unqualified award is celebrated by everyone. But once you say, no, at least we have an unqualified award, and then we start saying something. You understand? As if it's something, because for the fact that you have to take action, there's something wrong that is happening. The report is not necessarily good and nice. That we must deal with that aspect for us to understand that achievement is an achievement that was supposed to be. The reasoning behind achievement, the basis of achievement, the problems that were identified there, are not similar to the problems that we are saying we're going to improve now. The limitations that the Auditor General might have pinpointed there in terms of this, here is the expenditure.
was not repeating the things that we said would improve on them. Because we have a tendency to forget what the Auditor General said, and we continued between 2011 and 2010 having the same problem. Now we are coming here and saying, what's going to improve? Are these new interventions or the same interventions that we put in place? But basically, the question is that. And the CEO mentioned said good work in research in terms of publication, because already we should be talking about intervention. But have we been able to quantify what the chairperson was talking about? Not only directly quantify the intent of government departments in ensuring youth development. What concerns me is that the Department of Housing, what is it that has done? Quantify it, because we're investing money in research. Do we know the extent in which each and every department contributes to the whole context of youth development? I can even see that you are trying to intervene to things of higher education, to bring in bursary. It's hard, but we need to, using that effect, be able to quantify each and every three of government departments work in relation to that. Did you focus into that aspect? Let alone the fact that, yes, it might look nice, directly, if you are calling somebody, there's a setup, but quantify the work, the content of the work that you want. Not only that program, the program investment, which is the government. Private sector. Chair, I think you can agree that if we had 133 million and now we are on 2 million irregular expenditure, it might have impacted to accept it private sector. To us, because there's no better route for the one to put money to money that runs away. You can pay like this, 10 rand and then it's 2 million. But what we are doing in terms of, yes, we can through. Now, in terms of going out to stakeholders, I'm talking about the stakeholder arrangement, partnerships as well. In going out, trying to build the reputation of the institution. Because this is true, Chair. It's not only government. I think there are a number of governments out there. We should be making that call. That's not the only government who will be able to address the burden of youth unemployment and program. That's why the sector should come on board. But the point is that the institution that represents the youth of South Africa should also be having that image that needs to be attractive, including to international donors. We didn't say anything about respect, that's in general the objective, but have you been able to be attractive to international donors? You see this one, I'm not here about it. This one, I'm telling you, I'm not here. I'm from the same case, 4% of the national youth No, it's wrong. I'm the first amongst the first young people who are part of the National Service. Not that I was written wrong, I was the one who was painting the school. Then it was the first youth commission, the youth commission. In the end of that debate, when we started with them, we were still new leadership in the other side. It should be a brigade of young people. It's not a brigade anymore. If you find in the Eastern Cape, you see people who are registered to this call of national service, it's bigger than that. You see, in another organization I met, we said, we are students, we are members of the community before we are students. The intention of the program was to bring in the youth in the service of the nation. Now, if you're saying in the biggest province, Cape is Ed, the world fuels, and Eastern Cape where I come from, in terms of the register, people follow them. You see, the unfairness about it, the service, 4% the Eastern Cape. Those who get money, 37%, the intervener, you look at the plan, how they get, like as usual, get the money now. You understand? So we look into one thing with this plan. In terms of SMEs funding, we find the other provinces are getting more of the provinces that are being drawn in to get in terms of entrepreneurship development and so on. That's not acceptable. It cannot be acceptable because the poor of the poorest is there in Grand War and Kongobot. You understand? Therefore, capacity, I'm saying, they must be able to respond to that. It speaks to this issue that the walk-in offices of the NYTA are in other areas. Yes, the CEO is saying we are trying to have campaigns to go out. Campaigns, they don't sleep there. They need to campaign. Mr. Mao comes and leaves. He doesn't stay and leave there. But we must be able to put more investment check on this, on working for rural areas. Because the rural areas, they don't even know. Some even have TV. They don't listen to radio. And you are moved. You only advertise Mr. Mungika before the board. You move to advertising the bad. And you don't see. I don't see you on TV. I don't see you. I don't think about you. So what is this? What is this crazy? You understand? Therefore, those are the areas. Plus. The report talks about the World Conference. The World Conference, clearly, I don't know whether folks that are waiting until the investigation in relation to that or public protest. But the issue is that I'm getting constant interviews, constant briefings from either the Hawks or the public protest into the progress of the way that has been done in relation to this investigation. For us, for you to be able to the notebook, yes, now we're talking about, I did different jokes, but I'll tell. But the notebook is not healthy. That's the bottom line. We must agree now we're talking money, we're not talking the semantics. Now, that the notebook is not healthy. If, for instance, we are sick, we are sure that we cannot recover, the possibility of 192, that video, that one is just a signal. But we are unable to tell us a decay, like number, and say, there is recoverable money. This is the amount that will be recoverable. These are the people that we have worked on. These are the people that are going to come out. Because it shows that the NYDA, in terms of its investment, is not a healthy organization. Yes, politics can understand. But we must be able to work a way for us to improve it. We cannot have a state that loan. A loan you start not from a dollar bill. You cannot have a state that loan, but I'm not have a friend to address and say, because our people are poor, we live with it. We must find new mechanisms to deal with this problem. Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, I don't remember the other cutting members who will be big and you.
Yeah, thank you.
But I think there's nothing wrong with nostalgia. It's a healthy thing as well. Honorable Mashiko.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thanks for the presentation. Just some clarity from us, because you really were very upfront with whatever challenges you had. But I think we'd like to have some clarity on this issue of procurement, because those goods and services were included, the treasury regulations were worth more than about 500,000 rand. Why did the NYDA not follow the proper process? Can you just tell us a little bit of why did it happen like this? Because I think you were very explained that you are now working with the Saudi national traders, but really should you have gone so far in closing the national trader regulation to the extent that the AG complains about it? What performed that should go that far? And I think I'd like to focus on the issue of rural areas and also for Karajini, but I have to drag one delay to come and address those people, because like for our channel, I said I want to see NYDA in the rural area and for Karajini, and I just know the name. But then I dragged him and he came there. But I still say this is very little. I'm from the rural area and all of us from rural areas feel that little is being done. With four outreach programs sitting here, we really feel we are not being saved like constitutional members of the public of South Africa, try a lot of effort to reach our area. We have processes just trying to explain how far we can get them. But it is still, I echo the opposition members and one of our members,
we are trying, we want to see it out of metropolitan areas into our area. And I think I'll engage the CEO about what we should have passed very much with under the KTA number 8. I really feel that I want to see something happening to those children who are in rural boarding areas who don't even know what the sanitation sanitary is. We are really going to talk about it right now, and we are going to do something about it. But I think so far we are very open, and the CFO will really like we are openness. And if this is what you have planned and what we are going to do, and for the support you requested from us, we are there and we'll be supporting you. You know, whenever you are with us as a community, we don't hide our faces. We force you to tell us the truth. But I think it has been worked with you, and we thank the board for being there, and possibly because they met with us once, and they realize that we are not here to play with you. We want to see NYDA working, and the support of the board really must be further explained as time goes on. That are you really behind the success of the NYDA, because the actions we have already taken is with, but as long as you can answer what you have asked you. Why not follow the procedure stated in the national program and the other issues are being covered for me. But we'd like you to answer the questions as much as you can so that we shouldn't say one another round. We don't want follow up questions here. We want you to come out here and explain whatever you are going to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I also want to congratulate the NYCA for the report that they have given. And I also want to appreciate the fact that they are learning from their mistakes and they are committing the community that not only in the West but in Texas, that they will do everything in their power to change the trafficking of the NYCA that is there. And secondly, I had the opportunity to go through this report before we came here. And I think some of the crucial questions that I wanted to raise have been asked, and my colleagues have asked lots of them. The only question of clarity that I would want to ask is for my colleague, right at the end, from IFP. I heard that you are saying that the NYDA is not cooperating. That's what the public protector is saying. As a result, the report is not yet completed. If right, I've captured you right. Yes. Now, maybe you have an information, you'll have a privilege to information that has not yet come to Parliament because you were the one who, as you're saying, launched the complaint. And I think it would be unfair to raise questions that you have been raised about the size that has not yet come to Parliament. I've sized and checked through the officials if they know of any complaints here in Parliament in regard to NYDA.
Now, I think that what we do, is that you have said some of the things that I don't agree with, and maybe all of us, we have allowed that to happen. I think that maybe rather than stopping, just allow the person to say, like the case you want to say, then if you want to correct, you can come back and and raise it. We all know it in America. Thank you for understanding.
Thank you, sir, for the question. And I was still saying that I'll try to check whether this information has come to Parliament. If indeed it has, I will withdraw. But if it's not something that has not been reported yet here in Parliament, then I would think that we should not intervene such questions until such time they come to Parliament. Because as members of Parliament, we only deal with the information that has been reported to Parliament, not information that has been said in media. Even if that has been said by the public protector, but it has been said in media, as members of Parliament, we deal with information that has been tabled in front of us.
Honourable Chairman, if I may doubt you.
Can I wanted to help Honourable Shabbat. Let's avoid if I don't, you know, take with what I'm going to say, I will cover it fully, you can come back.
Honourable members,
I think that as I said, that I allow to do the question. I don't want any member to feel that we're trying to protect it. I think that Honourable Mashiro has indicated that we allow people to raise questions. Also, we don't want to respond. I'm talking now, in my character, we aim to not have we don't want to, because we're not to protect anybody. You know, we don't do this in this country. But I think that honorable members may not, this book is a little big, it's an annual report. You can omit one thing. So one of the things that I want to bring to your attention is on page 8, the question that Honorable Shema raised about the investigation. There, the Auditor General, it is Auditor General that is saying there's a signature. Analysis. Saying an investigation by the public protector to prove whether the hosting of the World Festival of Youth and Students held in December 2010 was within NYCA's money. And then the question continues. If the allocated funds were not misappropriated and whether relevant supply chain management issues. Now, and the report continues to say the initial scope of this investigation has been extended during this period. I don't want you to know that the initial scope has been extended during this period to include queries regarding corruption, Now, what I'm trying to say is that we must really be robust with MITA. But we must also be fair in our robustness, so that sometimes we are not necessarily what you call it, raising some questions that some other people may feel that this question is not fair because that is covered in the report. And I think also honorable members, you know, I agree with the honorable being in. You know, I take what we call the honorable an exception that the public protector comes to you. I chair a committee on behalf of all of us. The public protector doesn't come to us, doesn't go to Parliament. They need not come to us as a committee, but must go to the speaker and raise the issue because the public says, because this committee, agents account to Parliament and raise the concerns that they have. And maybe ask ourselves, what have I raised them today when the NYCA? You tell the complaint tomorrow and the other day. That's what as honored members, I think that we know that we relate openly with one another. We can raise this issue so that
we should want to support the NYPA or any investigation, I mean the public protester or any investigation as he's already. But we think that now we must not be respect to raise it now because NYPA is here. We have never heard about it as a today. Now I think that if the, I'm sure if there is a complaint has been provided to us through you, Honorable Chair, who definitely has supported the public protector, if it is the authority that the head office is meeting, is encountering in the investigation. But two, the other omission that I made myself in the office, maybe it's not to mention the dismissal of the people. I mean, it's an open secret that the people dismissed, we were hearing it on the radio and all over. But maybe the omission that then I didn't make on behalf of the committee is that obviously when there are these issues, you make follow-up so that they are able to report to the committee. But for the follow-up, I have discovered that the NYPA account to performance monitoring and evaluation. And the performance monitoring and evaluation account to us. So clearly, if the challenge they're supposed to report in those what we call the lies. And if that has not been done, and that's what the request that I would really like to make to Honorable members is that we don't deal with this matter today. We allow those processes to be adopted, after which they must come back to us to report about what is happening. It's an important issue for the whole of the committee. I think that Chairperson, before I allow you, I see that this is the ahead first that I'm asking that. Honorable Palmer, Honorable Chair.
Chairperson, you see, Chair, this gentleman, the National Service Development Agency, please, I want you to understand what I'm doing. The content of what has been said, I don't agree. I disagree with the procedure of the family. I'm coming here as capable citizen who can even respond to their self-critic. That is in a manner that has been said. They're capable. Even last time, when in the middle of the discussion, people tried to curtail the discussion, the chairperson came in and respond very capable with it. They are interested by the law who understand what they can say and not say. Because I'm okay with the situation where that we are going to have to caution our youth. These are managers, young people who understand the context in which we are dealing with the issues here. I want us as parliament to give them space to respond to things that they can respond to and not. Like every two to be present. I would not have loved to be sitting there with that every time when there is a controversial issue, there are people who are going to shield it. Now, Chair, the point that is raised by Honorable Chair, I don't mind about the details, what has been done. The name of the public protector has been drawn in here. The question is very simple. Are you holding information? No, yes or no, we're not holding information or contribution. If this board has made it very clear that they are going to lay processes and set the processes and try to assist the process. They have reported this thing here. It's not reported by Mr. Sengway. This few gentlemen who reported here. Maybe the name of the subcontractor has been called does not dismiss the issue right here. That what is your way? What is your contribution? What participation? There are many things that are not able in Parliament when I was speaking there said. Yes, I think you have to come in Parliament, but I'm going to say this. We must remember, in this House of Parliament, we have a faith of the freedom of people who have to conduct their speech. We must not be able to cut it. Luckily, Honorable Chair, here, Honorable Chair, is not the one who is presenting an annual report here. It is your duty, Chair, if you see that there's something that is not consistent with the law of government to make an intervention. All the time when you are there, Honorable Yengeni, you always our little chaplain who I can you be given space to look and engage with the NYDA? Thank you very much.
Thank you. The honourable member, I don't want us to have problems. Please honourable member, can we tell us put down our pen? No, please, please, I really want to call them. Just please allow me to rule on this matter. Now, because I don't want you to respond and as a counter want to call the response. Let me start respond to the fact that Honorable Omen Pana is quite correct. I agree with you 100% that we would like members of the committee. That's why you're here. You're representing constituencies, that's why you're here. And therefore you have got to raise these questions. But there's nothing wrong among us, part of democracy, is not to agree with one another. And agree that we are disagreeing on a particular matter. And if we are disagreeing, we mustn't force one another to agree on something that we are not agreeing with. You have the right to share your own opinion. Honorable Union has got the right to see things differently. There's nothing wrong, honorable member. But I think that the point that you are raising is a point that says, let's allow the board to respond to this question. But the point that I was raising earlier is that the point of the people, I did a break earlier because I had this information before coming here. I did a just raise it for the purpose of information to the house. The point that Honorable Wilson was raising, what we are saying, is that we are working as a team, as the parliament. And, if Honorable was clearly from what he thinks or he didn't have access to the board, he knows we work together, we could have assisted in terms of ensuring that the challenge that is being raised by the what we call the public protector is the public protector should not struggle to get information. So what I'm an appeal, Honorable members, that I want to ask all of you. Please, let's not what we call the response to one another. Let's allow the NYCA to respond. Please, I'm really, really appealing to you. Please, Honorable Shema. Please, Honorable Shema. Please, Honorable Shema.
I don't want to be saying anything to the disrespectful chair. I don't want to do that. But Honorable Yang and he posed the question. And the chairperson said he would allow me an opportunity to respond. There may be responses, I want to agree with them, but I hope that the chair would, if I may, chair. May I put this in context? This is not the first time that this, the report of the NIDA brings up the issue of investigation by the public protector. I did not just, you know, come from the sky. It is an ongoing matter. And whether the public protector, as far as I'm concerned, raised the matter here or where she's raised it, but the bottom line is she has raised a concern. Now, I'm not here as a spokesperson. I was intending to write to the board, but I was told that the board is coming to seek the clarity as to whether, I mean, this is a simple answer, yes or no. Yes, we're withholding, yes, we are not, and then the processes move forward. Because what I don't want to share, because these matters have been raised in the media, I don't want to be part of the public affairs. Because what has happened is that the NYD public protector are now, you know, exchanging responses on a simple question in the public domain. I honestly thought and still believe that this was a relevant platform to uphold the dignity of this process. To whether, you know, these other matters, as far as I'm concerned, really have no matter. The second question, Chair, about the CEO. I mean, we are sitting here right now with an acting CEO. I think we have got every responsibility to ask questions about the CEO, who has overseen the work of the NYDA in this financial year when there was no board. So, Chair, I mean, I'm in full agreement with you, and I respect the decision that you are taking. But I think we must engage ourselves within the context of the reality of taking.
Honorable Chair,
still want to contact?
And the board.
and tell me, know all the questions that are relevant and all things that are not relevant. If there's anything that is hearsay, let's not entertain hearsay and stick to the purpose of this meeting. That's what I wanted to say earlier. Then let's just progress and answer the questions that are presented and leave out anything that has nothing to do with our annual report. Because we have some like an annual report and some people are.
Thank you for that guidance. Executive
Chair. Hey, Matthew, I think we are all on the same page that the CSA part is not going to be answered. They must answer on other questions. We are clear on that. Thank you.
I'm not clear.
I don't know when this issue of here is coming. Then I'm not clear, sir.
I thought that we were moving together around. Honorable Banner says the MITA is capable of responding to this question. And I would say, I think that we must want to respond to each and every comment that is made. That we all hear in the house. If the NYDA will respond, wherever you are not happy, you have the opportunity to come back here for us. You know, I would not want to constrain you to answer questions. I'm not going to do that. Okay. Thank you very much, Executive Chair. I wish that whenever departments are presenting here, we can have this kind of robust meeting.
thank you, Chair. Chair, just to appreciate, Chair, the constructive criticism and recommendations. I think it can only help the NYC. We met the life of Mr. Swart in the last meeting.
More of our success stories related to young people, whether in the area all our products areas. So we really welcome that kind of suggestion, and we are definitely going to put it as part of our KPI in terms of our indicators. The involvement and investment of government partners in youth development, that was posed by Honourable Member Mr. Banga. The report, we are currently working with Mr. Patel's directorate, youth directorate. That report can be tabled very soon in terms of the investment and the intervention that has been made by government departments. In fact, last week on Wednesday, the Ops Expo, we had them presenting. So the next report will form a joint presentation as well as an outcome in terms of the investment. Our partners also posed the questions around the issue of partners. We've noted in our National Youth Fund report, KPA number 10, relates to $65 million in terms of donor funding that we've received. Part of that is the donor funding is also indicated, international donor funding, also from part of that $65 million. And part of our partners has been the French as well as the Flemish government, who've made significant investments in the area of national youth spend. But again, what we need to do, when we go under that indicator, we need to indicate your donors, your private donors in terms of private sector, your government as well as your international donors. So that members, honorable members, can get a sense of comfort in terms of how are we saying in terms of our performance with leveraging partners across the board and all on and internationally as well. Setting realistic targets from the honorable member of the IEP. Thank you so much for those comments. Part of our target setting is informed by our budget and the resources that we have. You'll find that at the beginning of the financial year, we don't know that $10 million is coming from the skills fund from Dr. Lemandes. So that's why you'll find that you'll see that an overachievement in terms of our target. Because donors or prospective partners would realize in the middle of the year that, wow, this project is, this program or this is making a significant impact in the lives of young people. Then they would come in. You know, sometimes people believe in seeing believing. So they would believe that, and then that's why you see an overachievement in terms of our targets. However, to offset that, we have decided that part of our review, in terms of the strategic review planning process that will happen now at the end of October, we said, can we not develop a hit list in terms of our private sector, public sector, as well as international donors, so that we can engage them quite early enough, so that we can be able to set the report not only on the available resources and also important demand, so that we can secure them this year for the next financial year, so that we can be able to be effective. So that's just my response to that. That's why you see an overachievement in our target, because we can only report on if we put $20 million in terms of grant funding. That's what the institution is held accountable for. If SMB sees that this program is worthy of being invested, we will also report on that, and therefore you see an exceeding of target. However, we had a strategy on in terms of, you know, making sure that we identify partners quite early so that we set children for the next financial year. I believe Chairperson, those are the questions that were raised concerned about operations with the NYD, and I'll hand over to the Deputy Chairperson to speak on other issues.
I want to say, honourable member, please, of the day. Such a young lady. But thank you very much, and good afternoon, honourable member. But I think we need to emphasize on the fact that, as you have indicated, there is still a need for us to provide some form of a command post to our executive authority on the dismissal of the CEO. Have a formal engagement to elucidate on the cause and reasons thereof. But we think that there's a need for us to also expatiate without getting on the demerits and merits of the case, especially on the issue of procedural offense, because this is a matter that has been in the public domain for quite a while. This is also an opportunity for us to demystify myths and deal with misconceptions that are already there, that the former CEO of the NYD was not offered an opportunity to respond to the charges, but that also this process was somewhat contentious. we elected not to engage diplomacy in a public discourse because our true occupation is mainstream of development. Labor issues have got a precise platform where they will be better handled, and we think that this may have been adequately addressed. Perhaps it is worth mentioning to indicate that the agency, as you know, was suspended on the 24th of July. The former CEO was suspended following an audit review conducted on the Tubalen and microfinance program.
I don't know how to get into this. Because you just said you have to formally report to the ministry. That allows you to do that. But once you're done, immediately please come back to us. And so it will be communicated to us and through the ministry, and then we will invite you to report to members so that they can get a full or correct response.
Around the region of the Republic, it's important here, one has to check and one has to remember that
I clarify the question of irregular expenditure. Irregular expenditure defined by the PFMA Act as an irregular, as an expenditure that has been incurred in contravention of an act. It does not mean that goods and services will not be paid by the organization at the right quality for the goods and the right service. Here you will find that in certain instances, maybe goods were procured from a service provider who doesn't have a health clearance certificate, as an example. That would be classified as regular expenditure. And other things similar to that. Or maybe you may have procured goods and services from a service provider without informing them that you will apply an 80-20 evaluation model. Whether you have applied it or not, if you do not inform them beforehand, you have not complied with the requirements of the Act. Therefore, it will be classified as a regular expenditure. So, in this instance, honorable members must be rest assured that the goods and services that were due to be delivered by these service providers to the NYDA were delivered, and the NYDA was happy with the delivery of those goods and services, have to pay. If one case, we don't pay. So, that's just to clarify the issue of regular expenditure in terms of the content. About that this money may be disappearing and it's not used for youth development projects. So that was just a clarification. Once again, we reiterate our commitment for addressing the question of regular expenditure moving forward. And the other issue was on the detail of the bedroom though. We have that detail. We can present those in future engagement with the portfolio committee. We have gone to the extent of preparing what we call the portfolio report that actually classifies how old are these old amounts, for how long have these people not been paid, who are they, and so forth and so forth. Who are those that were taken over to the legal process? Who are those that are now in court? Who are those that were waiting for judgment and so forth? And that detail report is available for sharing with the honorable members if such is required moving forward. The third for the payment of a clean audit report is this our encompassing because the audit, the clean audit report, the factor will vary, that will contribute to that. But I think in essence, the intention is to strengthen good governance and to ensure that the control environment is strengthened and that leadership leads by example so that you are able to drive a culture and a behavioral change within the staff complement of the organization. And we think that now that we have the board in place, there is an opportunity for that, and we think we can see that we're moving towards that direction. So we're confident that we're moving towards that direction. Issues of control issues, again, these are the operational issues, right? To just make sure that if you are processing a payment, for example, those payments adhere to PSNA requirements, adhere to accounting, those will strengthen. We are making sure that the managers are doing that daily oversight. We're making sure that on the marketing, senior management, including the CFO, are ensuring that this daily transaction are done in a manner that is prescribed by the Act of Accounting. So we remain committed and we're confident that we're on course. I think the last issue that I'll speak to is the having issues for accountability in relation to the expenditure with the indulgence of the audit committee and the support of the audit committee. What we have done now is to put in place a mechanism where we every transaction that is in the regular expenditure will be indicated from which division it came from, and then we'll be asking for an explanation by that division and head of that division why it needs to follow for this. And when the reasons they are provided, from the leadership of the CEO of it, but if a procedure will be taken where people are just deliberately bypassing processes and information. So I think I'll leave it there. Thank you.
On the last set of questions, the first was on the accountability and culture issue. I think that was raised. Okay, there's a few things which were implemented. The one is which was briefed to the committee earlier of capacitating the board's audit committee. That committee has been significantly capacitated to deliver audits, but also to strengthen the internal governance of the AYGA. And we're already seeing the results from having an independent audit committee chaired by an independent official. It's really producing some significant results. The other thing we just passed here is a resolution of a board voting for technical assistance from the Technical Assistance Unit of the National Treasury to ask the National Treasury for assistance with the expertise they have in terms of systems, processes, and etc. going forward. We feel that some of the interventions will strengthen the internal controls and ensure more accountability at the end of the day. And I think the CFO has really touched on some of the other steps we've taken. The culture change is not going to happen overnight. In fact, it may be a legacy inherited by the next board of having a new culture. But that's something we are again working on, the system processes and people, the change management techniques that are currently being employed in the NYCK. But we wanted to just flag that issue there, that it will not happen overnight, the cultural change, but we will manage it as time goes on. Can we accept the review of targets? We noted we accept it. Perhaps request the assistance of committee. Where should we review targets and where should we hit? Because, for example, on clear guidance, we feel that 700,000 is a sort of target. But perhaps on certain areas, maybe having 150 scholarships may not be a suitable target. So this may perhaps be from outside for the committee to assist us in terms of what would be the realistic target or not. And as we review going forward, we will get there. I think the discussion on the WUTI issue can only assist us. But I think Honorable Ndeni is a very important point, Chair. That for some reason, and then this will probably be the only thing I've shared out of the session in the media, Chair. So maybe to clarify, this would be even better for us as the NYC. On two things, Chair, and I think again, the point made by Honorable Ndeni is that we get this with the media, and we don't understand why. We've never closed doors with the public protector. We've always provided, and we want to put this on record, Chair. We have provided all information as requested by the public protector on the book here. We have it in black and white that the report is ready to be taken. So we don't understand why it comes to the media. That information is missing. And perhaps that this discussion can help us understand, because we are counter parliament, not any institution, but parliament. And so, Chair, as I said, we are quite confident that we are not holding it back to answer the question. Information has been provided, but we would really beg the intelligence of the public protector's office to communicate with us, because we don't receive that information we get from the media. And that's really not healthy. It's also a cloud that keeps hanging on the institution, Chair. That's why I think it's a healthy discussion for us. Because we can't move on. It's an event that took place in 2010. Chair, we just funded, we co-sponsored the One Young World Summit. 1,300 delegates from international countries, all boasting about the NYDA, what we're doing for youth development, how can they learn from us. We led discussions on youth unemployment. We shared platforms with the likes of Kofi Annan, international. A multinational corporation. No one spoke about it. No one associated the NYDA. It was positive, but it was a good thing. And we're now having a round table next week with 115 South African delegates just to listen to the chair, to listen to the ideas about youth unemployment, youth entrepreneurship, and youth assimilate those ideas into programs. But no one talks about it. And one of the reasons is because the WUTI cloud is hanging on 2010. And we said to the public, save us from that. Can we close that chapter and move on? Because we can have these events at One Young World Summit and we'll never be associated. So that's why, Chair, the point I'm making is that the sooner the better for us, Chair. But we are confident that it provides everything that is necessary. Chair, on the issue of rural development, again, it's an area we need to pay more attention. And what we've done is to say, we don't have capacity, but why can't we work with the Department of Rural Development and the NARI Tech Program? And what we've done is, in fact, on Friday, Chair, through the Deputy Minister's office, is to engage the Department of Rural Development and partner with them to say, how do we ensure that there's more young people on the NARITEC program so that we are able to pull our resources together and mainstream youth development better as it pertains to rural development. Because our challenge here, so we will launch a Mavida Youth Focus and Plan as an intervention for rural youth, encourage rural youth to get involved in agriculture, to come in competence, which 10 million into the program. And intervention for rural development is what we will call. So we'll implement those interventions, and on the other hand, we'll mainstream to what we say rural development. The reach is the challenge here, just to give you an example, the rural outreach in Africa. Vashe local municipality we said to them that, we have 5 million to set up an NYC branch, that's the average cost, to set up and sustain. We don't have the resources. And in the local municipality, that's fine. We can provide you with the infrastructure, but you need to provide and pay for staff. And again, now we're in a cash 22 situation because we've frozen all positions in NYB because we don't want to continue to grow directions. We've criticized for it and we've taken measures to say, let's not attempt to grow the way to be inside. Now, that has, taking that decision means that we also can't have a branch in the bush. Because the municipality is quite clear, they can't pay for everything. And so it's a quite a catch 22 situation, and we've got to meet, and that's part of what the CEO is saying, that on the one hand, the strategy is to redo the whole service delivery channel of even for haulage if needed, so that the reach is achieved with at least the least amount of resources possible, but also working together with local municipalities. We're not going to use the chair just given the resources, but not only with them for constraints, but other institutions. But I thought I could highlight that as an example. Chair, I think that covers interesting. The private companies, again, Chair, I mean, I think that's what the CEO has said. You now have Vodacom wanting to assist us on the Solomon Marshall Scholarship. Again, it's not going to be spoken about in the media because it's a good thing. And clearly, there's no positive thing that the media wants to talk about in the media. But we've emphasized the point. So and honorable again, we're not out to keep the media. We are out to deliver youth development programs. And we're out to be on the ground, in community, reaching as many young people as possible, and account at the right place to parliament through the media. So we'll then review targets to show we reach more young people. Whether that's covered or not, we're not sure, but these some private companies like Vodafone want to go with us. And we're hoping other private companies come aboard to also get the perspective of this initiative. So not all is doom and gloom. It's actually looking at a very bright future, and Minister Chabana has indicated that the first positive effect that he has indicated for his confidence in the NYC. So let me leave it at that chance to take anything else.
Okay.
The
taxation system is also
Chef, Majority, if you through you, Chef, would you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I'm
not saying anything. Thank you, Chef. Good afternoon, Honourable. I just wanted to say something that was omitted, a question by Honourable Ms. Hand, of whether to have a breakdown of women that we do programs with and disabled people we do have. Actually, as a board, as she said, that as a board we are hands-on on all the programs and activities that are happening. And Ms. Yaneng here is taking care of, taking that part of disabled people and women, and I also have that part in my program, and as the acting CEO has that part in her program. I think next time, as she said, that we'll have a report that how many women we have raised, how many disabled people we have raised, and all young people included in all the total of young people that we have raised. And also something that was, I think I just want to echo what was said at the chairperson about the issue of the 106 million that was spent in 2010. I think it's costing us a lot in terms of reaching out into private sector, into getting those funds and setting programs done by private sector, because immediately you go out there, they think of that 200 million, and now it's a step backwards into engaging them with programs that you have as the NYTA. So I think if that case can be a closed thing, it would make us move forward much faster and see a progress in us finding funding in private sector. Thank you, Jim.
National Service, when it started, it was a big problem. But still, the existing National Service, if you look into your data, it offers a people who have registered. But there is another aspect in that question. That you find out that in terms of economy development, you have for example, I might not be correct in terms of the number, having the bigger portion of people who have accessed the finance Now, with what we're saying, because some of the things they don't, like natural resources are not even treated. But what is that? This is this our youth development, but practitioner, some of you know, of course, but what is this shift? Yes. Yeah. I don't
know. They want to come back.
Thank you, Honorable Obama, for that question, and my apologies for not having addressed it. And if you look at the number of young people enrolled in NYS, we are referring to only NYDA programs. And Lemba has made an earlier comment to say that we are working with the Department of Rural and Economic Development to make sure that what other NYS programs are being dealt into by government, so that we can be able to plug into these numbers. So these are the NYDA programs. But also we are going to look at the chair had already said in his statement that. But also we will look in terms of the projects that we do and probably move away from the urban space into peri-urban and rural space so that we can plug in more resources there and plug in more participation of young people. And also it has a lot to do with the partners that come on board in terms of that national service program. And right now, in terms of our youth group program, we actually have one partner, which is the Department of Human Sessions. And in our youth group program, which the board made a decision to upscale as part of as the only youth program, we want to look at other tracks. We say, apart from the building trade, what is it can we do in terms of NYS that we, in terms of maybe could it be the IT center, or could it be the health center, or could it be the health hospitality center? Now, when we move into the Eastern Cape in particular, then we can have we can say that, all right, the Eastern Cape responds mainly to tourism and hospitality. Then in terms of our NYS project, how do we make sure that we talk to what natural resource programs talk to the demands of the particular sector? We will move away from the urban space and really delve deep into the rural community. And on the issue of footprint, how dare we sleep at night when we don't know that young people in Mount Fred and Buahomo and Bulamlo cannot have services that are better for they have a right to with young people. I think that is one of the answer that we have as the board and as the executive management team. How can we speak at night? Not making sure that every young person is entitled to this right of information and this right of opportunity that is afforded by the NYT. So those are the things that really allow us to always constantly try to innovate and try to rethink our strategies and say how do we make sure that these numbers don't look as they are right now and we're leaning towards where the services are needed the most. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and good afternoon to everyone, Honorable Members. I would like to say on the what Ms. Madobe has mentioned on part of young women and young able people. We at NYDA, we young and growing and learning, which is good, but there's still growing in issues of disabled people. They're still growing and they, like XCO has mentioned well that because it's well we see that in young disabled people, they don't get information what that they have rights to adequately get the support from NYDA. So we as a board member that represent disabled are really working hard to make a mediation champion the inclusion of youth with disability. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It looks like you have responded to questions everyone is not appropriate. Okay. Now it looks like then all the members I didn't hear what you were saying. I had the great of the Elizabeth speaking. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, MIT, for the opportunity. think that members from what I see, that there is satisfaction from what from your report. However, I think that there are issues that really need our attention, and some of those issues you have touched on. Especially what the FCC was saying last. And as I think apart from the rural one, because of which it continues to be a small case, you know, in the good work that we're doing. We need to inspect. But some of us have not forgotten that in the last meeting, for instance, that we had in the last occasion that we had in the Federal Office. And even today, in the report that you gave me, we spoke about opening offices in those rural municipalities. The very good chair speaks about the budget, municipalities as well. In other words, it's an issue that all of us we really need to put our hands together to ensure that if there are offices there, how are we going to deal with this issue of funding? What is it that we want to achieve? And I think that is something that needs to be prioritized. We can't compromise those people who are in rural areas. I agree with other members that the feeling that everything is being pumped into housing because it is well paid. But we have agreed on how to deal with this the issue of spreading the offices to all the areas. But secondly, Chairman, I think that the report that as I do in terms of those issues that were flagged by the Auditor General. And in the report, the correctly says this is how we think it is. You know, it would be very good if, and some of the members, by the way, didn't notice that you were saying how you were going to address some issues. Maybe what you would need to do in a 2 pages or 3 pages, that these are the issues that there are many issues that the Auditor General has raised, and say to us, this is how you intend to address them. And already you have indicated that some of them have already started addressing them. Although the now this is left, but it is fairly, you are the first person to speak to say it's important, but the most important thing is how you are going to address this issue. So I think that we need that so that for members to have a record, and we're hoping that in the quarterly report we'll keep on asking, what are you doing about this? What are you doing? So that we're not waiting for the annual report, you know. I think the other part of that report that was part of that may was not covered properly is the issue of irregular expenditure. You touched on it. Maybe it would be useful again not to have a page that says this is how this irregular expenditure was began. And this is what do we think we are dealing about. You're quite right to say. Not tantamount to corruption, you know, but I think to members, the process has to understand how was this intended, what is being done about it. The issue of the servicing of the loan book, we have indicated to us that maybe we'll have time just to speak about it as the committee and and lastly, we are happy about the report of the public protector that you at least finalized it. I think that it does not only harm the equipment, all of us, because some of us would like to see NYCA working successfully. So as soon as that report is up, we must get together and deal with that report as a committee. On that note, I think that we should have extended this meeting.
Okay, so
well, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and it's and thank you very much for bringing some of the department members. I hope that one day, special for occasion like the annual report, all the members will be here. Thank you, Honorable Members. Honorable members, tomorrow we are invited, before the last moment. Yeah, we can't be we are invited by IMF tomorrow. Please, I think that can we make sure that we attend? It has sent to what? It will assist as a part of the preparation for NPP. To understand the state of the economy internationally, what else, the qualification. I think that the invite from Equality Education has been circulated as well. Yeah, please don't circulate it to members. Now, when are we meeting again? Next week? It's on the floor there. When is it? Because we haven't adjusted that report on a report.
Yeah. No, I've got your official program for today. We stopped at 1 o'clock today. So we'll have to deal with anything else.
I wanted to hear that report. We'll deal with that next week. Thank you very much. Thank you,
Yeah.